We are in a series called The Spillover. We're actually going to wrap up on this series. And so we've been looking at who we are as a church, what we're about, and how that should spill over. We looked into our families, into our communities, and today's going to be a little bit of a reversal of that. But part of our vision comes from Ephesians 2:10, which I've already stated, that we have an identity, a purpose, and we have an action all called to us by Ephesians 2:10. That we have an identity that is uniquely known to God. Every single person in this room has a unique identity known to them by God. And two, that you have a purpose, that we have a purpose that we are meant to live out, to make our experience better in this life like Jesus did. And then ultimately we're called to action. And so as we get into it, we're going to, like I said, today's going to be a little bit of a reversal because I want something to spill over into here, but we'll get into that. Where's a place that you visited that you long to be back? Like, where's a place that you visited and you're like, you daydream about it when you're at work? I'm curious. Anybody have a place where that is? Where is it? Germany. Okay, anybody else? Ireland? Belgium? Wow. Any place that you, like, you find yourself in the middle of the day just like, I want to be there. Any places? Anybody? Deep Powder. That's what I'm talking about. Megan, did you have one? Did you? Wyoming, ooh, that sounds nice. Really? Do you find yourself like just sitting there looking out the window long to be back? So anyway, one more if it's out there, one more? Niagara Falls, okay. Aruba, I know, I knew it, Deb. Aruba. By the way, the number one overseas destination that all Americans are searching is, number one is Puerto Rico. Number one, Puerto Rico. Technically a U.S. territory, but still a flight or cruise away for those on the mainland. Park, Sleep, Fly tracked nearly 169 million searches for the island. Rounding out the top five spots were the Maldives. Anybody Maldives? I hear it's gorgeous. Okay, Maldives. Costa Rica, there you are. There you are, coming in at number four, Deb. Aruba and Mexico. Interesting. Like, all these people, dream. I guarantee people dream of this when they're at work. When the day gets long, you're like, oh, I just wish I was wherever, right? This is what people dream of, most according to the web searches. There's another person who found themselves daydreaming that I want to talk about. And his name's the Apostle John. And he had a vision and a dream about a destination that is awesome. And in order to get there, you got to go to your last book of the Bible. And that's the book of Revelation. Now, whenever you say Revelation, the preacher's going to talk about Revelation, everyone gets all freaked out. Right? This is not going to be one of those sermons where I'm going to be yelling and pounding the pulpit. Instead, I want to focus on the vision that John had. He had a vision of what? Anybody know what he had a vision of? He had a vision of the end of the world. Okay, yeah. But he also had a vision of what comes next. Heaven. He had a vision of heaven. And I want to get, so if you have your Bible, go to Revelation chapter 21. I want us to take a look at what is the new heaven and the new earth. These are the words of John. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or pain, for the older things had passed away.'" Continuing just in the first part of 22, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night, and they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." So we're going to close this series on what I call the spillover. And as we do, I want to look at the book of the Bible, right? And some of you, when you get into this book, we're all like terrified of it. Like, we don't want to read it. I kind of stay away from that book because it's kind of like intimidating, or I just don't understand it, or it's just way too confusing. As we take a look at what is the final two chapters of Revelation, what I want us to see is, well, really, this is what awaits us. Like, this is home. I don't know if you know, for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, this is what is for us one day. This is ultimately our destination. This is our ultimate destination. Like, can you, like, that's our, like, and I didn't even get, some of them talk about how the streets are lined with beautiful crystals and gold and sapphires, and the throne is sparkling with all these just beautiful, like, it's radiant and it's beautiful. And so as we look at that, I want us to see that this is home, and that Jesus wanted to, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but like, this is Jesus's home. This is like where he lives, and he wanted a little bit of home here on earth. When he prayed, he says, let me teach you how to pray. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus desired that a little bit of his home invaded us, our space, that a little bit of what he's used to would come here. Like I said, Jesus wanted a little bit of his home here to be experienced. Now, some of you come from places where there is some, I've called up some of you, and I asked you, give me a food or something that reminds you of home. Is there a food that reminds you of home? Me, being the New Jersey guy, there's only what, Taylor ham, right? Yes! Yes! It is not pork roll. It's Taylor ham. We're going to fight. Taylor ham. It takes me back to my childhood, right? It is not pork roll. It's Taylor ham. You know, you Philadelphia guys, it says Taylor. You know what? We're moving on. We are moving on, okay? We're moving on. Tilga. Biryani, right? It reminds home, right? Carolyn O'Neill, a big glass of sweet tea. Reminds her of home. What's that? Southern House wine? Wow. Tammy said a good old-fashioned hamburger reminds you of home, right? For Cindy Phillips, Scottish meat pie. Scottish meat pie. You had this week, didn't you? Yeah, I called up Cindy, and she actually made it this week for you. So I hope it was good. Good. Every single one of these dishes, when you eat one of these dishes, you're taken back to a time and a place that reminds you. And you have, I know every single one of you have that, whatever that is. There's something that takes you back. Maybe it's not even when you're a child. Maybe it's to the feeling of home, whatever that might be. We are called to have a little bit of our home here on earth. And if you've ever had people, you've invited people to eat at your table, to eat something that you want them to enjoy and have a little bit of the experience that you had, we invite them to our table and we say, hey, this is something that I grew up with that I want you to have an experience and share. I want you to share this with me. And Jesus wanted a little bit of his home here on earth. But, you know, back up. There's the problem with this is when we want heaven on earth, the problem is we just have too much earth here on earth. Like that's the problem, right? We have too much earth here on earth. There's not enough heaven here on earth. There's just earth here on earth. And listen, every single one of you had an experience of earth here on earth this week, right? Whether it was screaming at the car in front of you, or whether it was like getting so mad at the cashier, the person in front of you at the line of Walmart, or whether it was something happened to you this week that you didn't like, you experienced earth here on earth, and you're like, ugh. And our longing is for home. But Jesus said, I just don't want you to, it's not a like there. It's meant to be experienced here. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that Jesus wanted us to experience. Why wait? But we can experience that now. And so what I want is we have an identity, a purpose, and a thing to do in our future home that we're called to be experiencing here and now. If I can be, I want a little heaven on earth. It's just a little heaven on earth that we can share. Like, I want, like, this is what, like, this is my home. My home, where I'm going, like, there's no more pain. There's no more tears. There's no more fear. Like, it's been wiped away. Like, there's no more sun. Like, we'll talk about it in a moment. Just think about that for a moment. Just God's glory is all that you need. It's incredible. And selfishly, I want it a little bit here. And I think Jesus wants us to kind of share it here. And so if you would bring someone to your table and say, I want you to experience this, the same way is true. Like, listen, where I'm going, where I'm from, where I'm headed, I want you to experience that here now, who you are meant to be and what we're called to do, and what we're called to do in those two things to see it through. And so I just want us to take away a couple things here, and it's going to be your identity, your purpose, and your action. It's what it's going to be. That's the big spoiler alert. But let's get into it. The first thing I want us to know is our future identity can be a reality today. Your future identity can be a reality today. Look at that. They will be his people, and God himself be with them, and he will be their God. Like, that is it. So in heaven, God is with his people, and it's amazing. And by the way, this is such like a pinhole like view. Like, I swear, when John saw all these things, he didn't even know what to write. He was like, well, he's just like, I swear he was writing things down, or he had this vision in his head, and he didn't know what to think of it until he sat down later on and been like, oh, that was awesome. Like, God and his people were like unified for the first time since the Garden of Eden, and that they were with him, and like their identity is that they themselves will be with him, and they're his God, and that's who they're meant to be. Like, that we are meant to have this great community, that God just desires and loves you so much that he, like, Jesus came to be, to set up camp among us because of his great love for you, that you're not junk, that you're not unworthy, that you're not just a pile of garbage, that God desires, he loves you so much that he's done such an amazing work and that he wants to be with you. Like, it's all about like proximity and closeness here. Like, he will be their God. There's no more separation. It's just you and I. Like, the best like illustration I have in my head of this is like, this is why there's so much wedding symbolism in the Bible, is because there's this great anticipation, this longing to be together. And you know, when you were dating, whatever, you just, oh man, we wanted to spend every moment with your spouse, right? Sneaking away, whatever that might be, hiding from mom and dad. I don't know what you were doing. But you know what I mean? But it all culminated into a beautiful wedding where two became one. And it was this beautiful picture of intimacy and proximity. And the same is true about heaven, that God is with his creation and it is beautiful. This is what he's been trying to have since the moment of the garden. And it doesn't have to be a far off reality. It can be today. Like, Jesus did this. Like, John chapter 4, a woman who was a hussy at the well, right? In the middle of the day, what did Jesus say? Let me tell you who you are, and let me tell you what you're called to do. Go and tell. And she goes and tells. John 8, a woman caught in adultery. She's picked up. She says, go. He says, go. Go and sin no more. You are not who all these people with these rocks say you are. Mark chapter 5, a man possessed with demons. Hey, you can't come with me, but you can go to Decapolis. You go and become one of the greatest missionaries that Decapolis has ever seen. It says he went and many heard the news of Jesus because of a man who was possessed with demons. When the world saw someone who was worthless, Jesus saw something that was priceless. And of course, seeing Judas for what he's really worth too. Jesus had the ability to see truth and understanding here, to see our identity. And so all I really want is for you to have a little bit of understanding of who you are in heaven here on earth. That it spills over from heaven to you today, that you are not a piece of junk. That like in heaven, God just, he's like, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Oh man, I've said this 100 times. There's a picture of you on God's nightstand. Like, whether that's true or not, like, it's how he feels about you. Otherwise, he would never have sent Jesus. Like, the God is so just enamored with you. And in heaven, he's finally there with you, and you are with him, and we are, it's just great, and there's no tear or fears. And for the first time, God can be with his creation without any type of separation, just like he did with Adam as he walked through the cool of the garden with his creation. It was just perfect. And for, so all just who we are made to be in Christ is what I want to spill over from heaven. That's who we're going to be. I want it just to be who we are now in just a little bit to understand that God loves you and he's made you and he's enamored with you. And how should that spill over into our lives as well? So that's future identity, future purpose. I always, what if we were able to see, so many of us wanted, like, if you could see a future version of yourself today, like, what would you want to know about yourself? All of you just go to the lottery. I know, all of a sudden, like, every single one of you, what are those Powerball numbers, right? If you could use it for unselfish gain, like if you could see a vision of yourself in the future, or think about this, if you could go back and tell yourself something, who you were 10 years ago today, like, what would you write? To say, like, stop worrying about these silly things that don't matter in your life? Like, what would you go back and tell yourself? Here's a picture of who you are. I don't know if you know this or not, but this is a picture from your future self. Like, who you are. Like, this is and what you're meant to be. Like, you're going to be, for those who put their faith in Jesus, you are going to be with him. And he's going to be with you. And he's going to wipe every tear. And he will call you by a beautiful name. It's just, it's so beautiful here. There's no sun. There's no light. There's just God, you and God. And it's awesome. Amen. Right? Revelation is so hard to piece together. I know that's why most of you avoid it. Because it's so hard to understand half the time. But right here is who you're called to be. It's just, you're not in need of anything anymore. You're not worried about things anymore. Can you imagine not having to worry about the sun anymore? I don't know if you know this or not, but like the sun, you need, by the way, all of you are here and alive today because of the sun. Do you know this? Like the food web starts, do you know the food web starts with the sun? The fact that you ate something this morning started with the sun. It has to. Unless you're a microplankton down under the ocean, which I don't think any of you are, your food web, so whatever you ate this morning started with the sun. It's just, for those with home fries, guess what? It started with potatoes, which grew from the sun. If it was an egg this morning, the chicken had to have feed. We're not going to talk about chicken and the egg this morning, okay? But what we will talk about, the chicken ate something this morning, which started from the where? The sun. The food web, the base of the food web is the sun. And without the sun, we wouldn't be here. But now we no longer need it. Can you imagine your future self writing to you being like, dude, you don't even have to worry about where your food comes from, man. Like, just a little bit of who we are today. And what is it? What do we do with that? Right? It's right here. We serve him. We're so enamored with him. We just serve him. We do it. You said it's done? You got it, man. Right? This was the original creation. Right? Adam's original purpose was to be a caretaker. Here's a garden. Take care of it for me. Yes, sir. You got it. I don't know what your future purpose is going to be for serving. I don't know what your activity is going to be. But whatever it is, we serve Jesus. We serve the Father. We serve the Spirit. And we're like, absolutely. You're so moved by him that we serve him. And our purpose is to serve him, to work for him. And by the way, if any of you have ever been bored at work, right, blame Adam, because work was not meant to be like tiring or burdensome. It was actually meant to be a joy. But because Adam sinned, he says, you will toil by the sweat of your brow for the rest of your life, by the way. So blame Adam if you've ever been tired at work. So if you've ever been bored at work, blame Adam. But if you ever feel burdened, call in Jesus. That's where we're called to go, to serve him. to be with him. So your future identity is wrapped up in who Jesus says, who God says you are. And we see that in heaven. And in heaven, your purpose is to serve God. And then, what are our actions? Well, this probably isn't even a word, but I want you to act like a heavener. It's probably not even a word, right? I'm sure my seminary professors are probably rolling around, if they're dead, in their graves, if they hear me say this stuff. But like, act like a heavener. When Tab and I moved to New York, right, we were leaving PA. Tab, remember what we did before we left PA? We bought something. Do you remember what it was? From your hometown? We bought a quilt. One of those like Amish-made quilts. Right? We bought one of those before we headed up to Nyack. Tab wanted a little bit of home to go with us. And so we had this like beautiful like Amish. We spent a good amount of money on that, just so you know. Like, and we didn't have it. We spent a good, like, there was not expensive. Like, oh, we're going to get a deal from these Amish. They saw me coming a mile away. Look at this English, right? Oh, man. They saw me coming a mile away. I bought it. We had it on our bed. And it was a con, because I'm like, Tab, we're going to school. And I took her away from family and 3 hours to Nyack. And I wanted her to have a little bit of, like, home where we were. And, like, this is not your home. This is not where you belong. Like we're only travelers. Like, we get 70 years here if we're lucky. If you're really lucky, like Grammy, 110? Danielle, 110? Like, that's awesome. Still doing well? Good. 110. I want to be with Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, if we're lucky, 70 years, and then we get to go home. But most of us act like this is it, compared to the light of eternity. You don't belong here. Your home is what's to come, and what we're called to do is bring that here. We're called to act like a heavener here and now, right? Like, to not be burdened by this. I mean, take a look at this. We'll rule with God forever and ever, and he'll speak into us of who we are. I jumped the gun. I talked about no son. That's fine. That's fine. But how do we start to experience that today? How do we start to allow our future? Like, what I'm trying to say here is our identity is wrapped up into who God says we are in the future. And heaven is perfect. And we're supposed to have a little bit of heaven here on earth. And, like, I just want us to experience a little bit of home here on earth. And one of the ways we're going to do that is to enter into a time of worship and communion, to remember what Jesus has done for us and allow that to spur on what we're called to be, to start acting like heaveners here today. Like, that's where we belong. Like, listen, most of you know when you go on vacation, you're a Pennsylvanian when you go away, right? Even in Wyoming, right? You're people get, by the way, just so you know, people can spot you from a mile away, okay? Just so you know it. Like, you're from Pennsylvania, aren't you? How'd you know, right? Well, it was the scrapple. That's what gave it away. So, like what I want us to be are people who we are going to begin to invade today. That I don't, there's no real need to worry. Like, God's going to take care of everything. And my purpose is to serve God and to do what he says. And then what do I call to do? Well, I'm called to live this life a lot like the way that Jesus wants me to live this life. Jesus was a heavener, and he acted like a heavener. And I just want to act like Jesus, because he's got kind of the upper hand here. He knows he did it, and he lived this great life. He loved people where they were, and he met people who were broken, and he told them who they were. He didn't worry about things. He didn't even worry about a house. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. And Jesus did what he was called to do. So I want a room full of heaveners this morning. Help me be a heavener. It's probably not even a word. I don't even know. But I want us to be people who want a little bit of home here where we are. Like that quilt. Bring a little bit of home wherever we go. And don't let where we are extinguish who we're truly called to be. And so I'm going to invite the worship team. We're going to do our communion time now. And if my elders could come up and help me distribute the elements, that'd be great. Because what I desire for us is to experience a little bit of heaven here on earth. And it's going to begin with the bread here. So Jesus wanted a little bit of his home to be experienced here. I just want a little bit of our future home to be experienced here. That you understand that, man, you are loved by a God, that your neighbor is loved by, that you're the person in your life who doesn't know Jesus yet, they are loved by God, and that our future home should begin to be experienced here. Where our purpose is to serve God all our days, because we're going to be doing it for all eternity. And then to act like we belong here, because we have a home that has called us to so much better and greater things here. And to allow that to be experienced here. That's what I want. That's my desire. So what do I take away? Well, your purpose, your identity, your purpose, and your action, as we close out what has been Faith Alliance, what I want us to be, it's meant to spill over into our families so they understand they are loved by God. It's meant to spill over to our communities. And then ultimately, it's meant to spill over from heaven here into earth so we can experience all those things now. So as we close, we have one final song called The Stand. I'm going to ask you to stand. I am going to pass. And by the way, we on Communion Sundays, we take a collection, which is called a benevolent offering. And this just goes to help people who are down and out. We have a Helping Hands Fund. This helps pay for people's gas and rent. There is no obligation to give. Zero. Zero. In fact, we have a surplus of these monies. Isn't that right, Deb? So what we really long for are opportunities to use these funds. You do not have to give. We have a lot of money that we want to spend. So if you feel compelled to give, we want to use it to the right opportunities, but we need to know those opportunities. If you know of somebody who's struggling, who needs some help, just a hand. Not a handout, but a hand to help them up. This is what we do. You can give towards that, but we have monies to help people in those regards. So if you know of somebody who needs some help, we want to know so we can give them free money. That's just the reality of it. That's just the story. To allow a little bit of heaven to meet earth so that people don't have to worry about the things in life, that we can give them a that's what it's meant to do. If we can help you or somebody you know out, we want to do so. There's no obligation to give. Just help us find opportunities to give this money to who they need it. So anyway, as you close, we're going to take that collection. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
You can just pass it on. Just pass it up.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hands. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. I walk upon salvation, your spirit alive in me. My life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. The one who gave it all, I'll stand. My soul, Lord, to you surrendered, all I am is yours. And I'll stand with heart high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered, all I am is yours. All I am is yours.
So, Lord, go with us today as we are sent out from this place, allowing a little bit of heaven to meet earth, allowing our identity in you, loved by you, to be sent out into a community that needs to hear it, to people who want to serve God with all they are, being sent out into a community that has needs that we can be met, and then to allow who we are to be that which takes us into a world. Lord, let us be heaveners here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.